Hello, everyone. My name is Scott Hillier, and I'm here with Andrew Connell, and welcome to Module 7, Deep Dive into Business Connectivity Services, in our larger course, Building Blocks and Services of the SharePoint Platform. Okay, so in this course, what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at business connectivity services in some detail, focused really on what we can do in Office 365. This is the agenda that we're going to follow. We're going to do a little bit of overview of business connectivity services for those that maybe haven't had a chance to do any work with it in the past. And then we're going to look at some very specific solutions that you can do in Office 365, app level external content types, a hybrid business connectivity services solution, and finally, custom event receivers. Before we dig into that in any detail, let's have a little bit of overview, and we're going to start with that high-level vision of what we're trying to do here. So, Andrew, why don't you give us a little rundown on the high-level platform vision?
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott. So we got three different pillars that we're looking at for the high-level vision for what Microsoft is trying to accomplish here with Office 365. It's extending Office everywhere, connecting Office 365 services, and the third one is building using an open platform. The first pillar about extending Office everywhere is about using all the products they have available to us both on-prem, in the cloud, and on every device that we like to use around things like Outlook and Word or SharePoint or Yammer, OneDrive, all these different tools are available to us. The next one is about connecting the Office 365 services. And as developers, the way we do that is with the different APIs that are available to us. Things like the SharePoint REST API, the CSOM. We've also got APIs for Office 365 to interact with our mail and calendar and contacts. All these different APIs are going to help us talk to these different back-end services to create some really rich business applications. And it all comes together by embracing an open platform and not just supporting just what's on the Microsoft stack, but also the other mobile platforms that are out there and other desktop platforms, using the various native SDKs that Microsoft has shipped, working with SharePoint, Office 365, and all the different flavors of the products that we've talked about here. So that's the vision, Scott.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Andrew. So let's go ahead and see how this fits into the larger course. So we've shown this slide several times, the SharePoint app building blocks. And the key thing for us here is that business connectivity services we can see is down here in the lower right. Business connectivity services is one of the various service applications that SharePoint supports. So we're going to be able to use this service application both directly and in the apps that we create. We also don't want to forget to mention, as we've said several times, about the Office Dev Center. That's your central area for learning about these technologies. You can see there are specifics on the various workloads that we've been dealing with, including business connectivity services. Okay, so when we narrow our focus now to business connectivity services, I mean, why is it that we care about learning about business connectivity services and what we can do? The value behind business connectivity services involves several things that we can do. One of the first things that you would run into in looking at BCS solutions is the ability to create lists in SharePoint that are based on external data sources. This means that you could have something like an external RESTful service and then create a list in SharePoint that is backed by that service. So that's a very powerful way to be able to get external data into SharePoint online. And furthermore, when you program against those lists, you can use very standard programming techniques using REST and CSOM against the external list as if it were just a normal list in SharePoint. So it makes it easy for you to leverage the skills you already have to get to data that's outside of SharePoint Online and bring it in. The next thing that we can do is we can integrate that external data into SharePoint apps. And we can do that in a couple of ways. We could bring an external list into our app, or we could go directly against the external content types using programmatic solutions. And once again, giving us that ability to pull external data into our creations, into the apps that we're creating. A third area that's important in business connectivity services is the ability to integrate on-premises data with SharePoint Online. So these hybrid solutions where an organization will have some kind of data on-premises that they want to make available in SharePoint Online can be quite common because, of course, organizations have lots of databases and data sources on premises that they may want to expose to users who are in SharePoint Online. And finally, the last value area is the ability to receive notifications when data changes in external systems. One of the demonstrations that we'll show you in this module is how you can expose external data through a list and then subscribe to changes in those lists, which effectively allows an end user to receive notification when data changes in an external source. And that's a very powerful scenario. Again, we'll look more at that as we go along. The business connectivity services basics, what it really is all about when somebody says BCS to you, the way to think about BCS is to think about it as an object relational map, or an ORM. What an ORM does is it translates the form of a data source from its native form, say a database full of normalized tables, into objects. And as programmers, what we would like is we're much happier to work with objects than we are to work with, you know, some particular form of a data. And so an ORM takes that and sort of abstracts away the particular form of the data and gives us something that looks more like an object. And BCS, we can build these things against either SQL databases or OData sources. So we have different variety of sources that we can use. And then the ECTs themselves are used to define both the properties and the methods that we're going to operate with against a database. And so, you know, Andrew, one of the things that always irritates me about data source programming is that when I use a different data source, I'm always forced to learn the structure of that data source, the specialized query language that's used against that data source. And so I really like the idea of something that can help abstract that away and give me one thing that I have to deal with.
Well, it makes you more productive too, because you can just hit the ground running and get a bunch more stuff done. I mean, you can sit there and create these reusable connections and use them in so many different ways inside SharePoint and your different apps. It really makes you a lot more productive.
And we've looked at ways in this course to talk to SharePoint lists. So why not use the same approaches and leverage that ability to talk to data that's external? Another key part of business connectivity services is sort of a companion service known as the Secure Store Service. The Secure Store Service is a credential mapping system. And what we mean by that is that it can take the identity of the, say, the current user who's looking at a SharePoint list, and it can map it to credentials that are appropriate for the external system, essentially allowing a user to come in with their organizational ID into SharePoint Online and still gain access to external systems, even if those external systems happen to be on premises, and even if they're secured with a completely different approach than the organizational ID. So that makes it very powerful for us to be able to get to these external systems by ensuring that people don't have to log in twice in order to see this data. Just one time, and then the secure store will map the current user to an appropriate set of credentials. When we're building business connectivity services solutions, we have some particular development tasks that we're involved in that are pretty much part of all the solutions that we'll do. The first involves the creating of external content types, or what we call ECTs for short. And remember, the external content type is really the fundamental building block of that object relational map. So an ECT is going to allow us to connect to an external source and then define the properties that come back from that external source, as well as the methods that we're going to use to operate on the external source. So you can think of the properties as being the fields that will come back from the source that you want to work with, and the methods are going to be simple things like CRUD operations that you'd like to perform against that system. And now that gives you kind of an object, an abstraction away from the particulars of that data source that makes it easy to bind to a list and work with inside of SharePoint. So your first task is going to be to create those ECTs against that external source, and that can be done either using the SharePoint Designer or in Visual Studio, depending upon the data source that you're going after. Next, what you'll do after you create your external content type is you'll import that into the business connectivity services service application so that SharePoint can understand the external data, it can understand your object relational map, and then help you bind that into a list. After we get that ECT written, then we're going to want to configure the secure store. Finally, once all that's done, we'll be able to create an external list and we can even go further and create some apps. All right, so with those as kind of our building blocks, let's talk a little bit about some particular solutions, and we're going to begin with probably the simplest type of solution that we can create called an app-level ECT, an app-level external content type. An app-level external content type allows you to define an ECT within an app. So if you're creating a SharePoint app, you can define an ECT that goes along with the app, and this ECT is isolated to the app only. So it belongs to the app, it provides an ORM that allows the app to talk to an external store and use that information within the app. It can be used to create an external list within the app that you create, or you can access the external system directly by simply using an API. So it's a simple way, again, to bring external data into your SharePoint apps and to be able to access, manipulate that data using techniques you already understand from SharePoint development. If we look at the architecture of the app-level ECT, we can see that conceptually it's pretty straightforward. So over here on the right, we've got this OData source, which is, you know, just representative of any kind of external OData compliance source that we might want to bring into our app. And then we can see that there's an external list down here at the bottom, which represents the SharePoint list we're going to create based on that OData source. And then there's an external content type on the left here, an ECT, which defines that object relational map that is mapping that OData source into the list. And this is all brought together by a very special component known as the file-backed metadata catalog. Now, for those that have done some business connectivity services in the past, the file-backed metadata catalog has been around since SharePoint 2010, but it was really not used very much by developers. But its whole purpose was to allow business connectivity services functionality to be separated from SharePoint so that you could spin up an instance of business connectivity services just in memory and use that at will. So what happened in SharePoint 2013 was Microsoft leveraged the existing file-backed metadata catalog for apps. So basically what your app is kind of doing is spinning up its own self-contained business connectivity service, and then it's going to load the ECT into that spun up instance of the service, and then you're going to be able to use it now to create external lists. So you're really doing the same type of thing that you were doing in SharePoint 2010, isolated to a single app, all self-contained within that single app. If we look at external lists that get created against external content types, we can see that the way that external lists get defined is by using CAML in the standard way that we might define any SharePoint list, with a key difference here. You'll notice that this CAML definition contains inside of it a data source, and that data source element has several property elements inside of it. And those property elements define things like the line of business instance, the namespace, and the entity. So these three things right here, the line of business system instance, the entity namespace, and the entity, are all key information that's contained in the model that basically tells SharePoint what external system you're connecting to and what ECT is being used to represent that. So what you're doing with the data source and the property elements in CAML is you're binding that ECT to an external list and representing some external data store. You'll also notice within this definition there's something called the specific finder. And the specific finder is a method that is used to find one particular item. So if you think about binding a list into some kind of data store, there are different views of the data store that you'd like to have. One of the views is when you come to the list and you see many items in the list, as we all do with any SharePoint list. And we refer to that particular method in BCS as the finder method. And then there's also a view where you just want one single item, you know, the one where you say view the item or you want to edit the item. And in order to get one item back, we refer to that method as the specific finder method, finds one specific things, one thing. And for CRUD operations to be complete, we also have creators and deleters that we'll use to to make new things and get rid of them, and also updaters in order to change. So basically, there are methods for all the CRUD operations within the ECT, and we give them special names so that we can sort of keep track of them. And then within the CAML for your list, you're really just binding into those methods so that the list can perform its operations and show the data. Once we have an external list bound to external data, then we're free to go after it using very standard techniques. So one way that we can go after it is by using client-side object model techniques. So here we have some code that shows client-side object model against an external list. And what's really interesting about this code is that this code is really the same kind of code that I would use to go against any list inside of SharePoint. I mean, Andrew, when you look at this, this is really no different than the CSOM you use for everything, right?
Well, when I use the CSOM, yeah, it looks like the exact same thing. I mean, the code's identical here, so right. It's really easy to get ramped up on this and not...
And there's nothing about this that would tell you it's an external list. And that's one of the key values there, right, is that we're able to reuse that same knowledge that we had.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that, that is our first kind of pattern. Let's make an external list and talk to it. Let's go ahead and take a look at a demo of an app-level ECT in action. Okay, I'm going to break out of the slides here now. And what we're going to do is we're going to come in and make use of an external OData source. And we're simply going to pick on this publicly available source. It's used in a lot of demos. You can certainly use it yourself. It's the Northwind data source. So I'm just going to copy out this URI here, and we'll go to a fresh tab, and I'll go ahead and paste it in. And when I do, you can see that I'm getting back information about that Northwind source, which contains information from the classic Northwind database about customers and employees and orders and products and things like that. So I want to be able to use this externally available, publicly available on the internet source within an app that I write. So let's walk through the basic steps to make that happen. What I'm going to do is come into Visual Studio, and let's go ahead and make ourselves a new project. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and make a new SharePoint app. So we'll do an app for SharePoint like that. And I just need a place to put it. This will be great. I'll just leave it as SharePoint App 3, no big deal. And we'll go ahead and click OK. Yep, looks good. And then here on the wizard where it says, you know, where do you want to make it and what do you want to make, let's go ahead and just use this test tenant that I have for this session. That looks like a good URL. And I'm just going to keep it simple and make a SharePoint hosted app and go ahead and click Finish. So at this point, what I've got is I've got myself a SharePoint hosted app. Of course, I have to log in just to finish up the creation of this. So let's do that.
Scott with one T, right?
You bet. Scott with one T, right?
Never heard that before?
Well, actually, one time and not too long ago, what I was doing was I was doing a demo, and you know, sometimes you're typing these long credentials, it's difficult to get it right. You make typos. I kept making a typo, something on them. I kept misspelling Microsoft or something. And I looked at the audience and I said, does anyone know what I'm doing wrong? And a guy raised his hand and he said, you keep misspelling Scott. I said, you don't think I know how to spell my own name?
That one I think you got down. .com maybe got you too, right? Put a zero instead of an O.
That's right. So anyway. We'll go ahead and log in now to finish up the creation of this project. And at this point, I really don't have anything special, right? I'm going to get the kind of standard, out-of-the-box template for a SharePoint-hosted app.
I think Scott with one T is pretty special. I mean, you got that.
You're liking that. All right, so here we've got our basic app. Nothing special here. Again, as I said, we would run this and just get kind of a hello world. But what if I want to add an ECT to this? Well, what I can do now is I can come into this app, right-click it, and I'm going to say add all the way down here at the bottom. We're going to add content types for an external data source. I'm going to go ahead and click on that. Let's go back there, add. Content types for an external data source. And then it says, okay, well, what OData URL would you like to use? Where is that source? And I'm going to go ahead and just capture this Northwind source and put it in there. And then we'll just call this Northwind like that. Great. Go ahead and click Next. And now what happens is it goes and it examines the schema for that source. And it says, look at all these entities that I found in there. And then what you can do is come up here and say, well, you know what? I'd like to use the employees here. And then also the wizard will allow me to create a list instance for this selected data type. So you can see how easy this is to bind in this external data and end up with a list. So go ahead and click finish, and then it goes to town. And if we come over here and look at this, you'll see that here is the list definition, and you also have this ECT that's been put into the application. Now, what I'm going to do is let's go ahead and do the that whole cooking show thing, right, where I half make dinner and then open up the completed project, which is our, you know, our whole meal. So let's do that. And here, what I've done is instead of using a SharePoint hosted app now, I have a provider hosted app. So slightly different, but if we look in that app project, we'll see that I have an ECT from Northwind already defined. So here's an employee ECT. And what I can do is right click this thing and say I'd like to open this with just a regular text editor. And when I do, we can see some pretty interesting information that's inside of this. So one of the key takeaways from what you're looking at now is that an external content type is really just an XML document. And this XML document defines how you should connect to the external source. And again, what values should I bring back? What fields should I bring back? And what operations should I perform? And how will they be performed? So if we examine the internals of this XML document, we can see, for example, that there is a reference to the metadata that's available from that service. We can also see that in the authentication mode, it's set as pass-through, which basically means it's going to try to authenticate as me. Now, this is just a freely available, unsecure service, so that's not really a problem for us. And then if we scroll down a little bit more, what you'll begin to see is the definition of fields like employee ID and the definition of operations like create employee that are inside of here that tell how the creation, how the reads, how the updates and deletes are supposed to happen. And that's what's really in here. Now, you can see that if I just kind of whip through this, that this file can be somewhat complicated, but it really just contains these properties and methods in there for use. Okay, so now that we have this in place, we also have a list. So I can come in here and look at the external list that got created. Here's the external list that got created. It is going after that employee's ECT. It's using that Northwind model, and it's going after that Northwind line of business system right there, right? And so, wow, what this will do is result in an external list for me. Now, if we take a close look at what's happening, you'll see that all of this is being done in that first project here, in that first project. So I'm going to end up with a SharePoint list inside of my app web. And this is an example, Andrew, where we've got both an app web and a remote web, right? Yep. So I've got this external list in there. Now, what I'd like to do is turn around and talk to it from that remote web.
I see. Okay, so you're going to use the remote web to come in and use the app web as like the go-between to get to the end the data in that external service.
Exactly.
So as a provider-hosted app, anybody that's using that, they really can not tell where you're getting the data from.
Exactly right. They won't even know that the list is actually there. And you know what I'm going to do? Let's go ahead and run this thing first, and then we'll examine how I did that. But just to prove that we can, I'm going to go ahead and start this thing up, and I'm expecting that it's going to ask me to log in here. So here we are. Let's do that. Using my organizational account again.
I didn't talk to you this time to make sure you didn't, forget a T, so.
Looking good. Okay, and now this is just going to launch my remote web. So my provider-hosted app is going to run, right? We give it a second here. It's kind of churning along, getting started. But here we go. We're all done. And now what you can see is that these are employees from that Northwind source. And, you know, you can see clearly here that this is really my MVC application, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've got control over the way it looks. It's obvious that this is something other.
It's up on localhost.
Than a SharePoint site. Right, and that's an excellent point. Thanks, Andrew. If you zoom in on this, you can see that this is running on localhost. So I am talking to this external system that's out there on the internet, but I'm running this provider-hosted app in debug mode. So I've got this really interesting combination of Office 365 in the cloud, the Northwind RESTful database in the cloud, and my provider-hosted app running in debug mode local on my machine. So you can see all the moving pieces there. All right, let's bounce out of this then and go back to the code and just take a look at how we made this happen. So I'm going to close up the app part and open up the remote web part and jump into the controllers here. Well, we'll just look at the home controller. And here inside the home controller, what you can see is that we're simply coming in and running a camel query against the list, right? So this is, you know, again, if you're an old school SharePoint developer, you're well familiar with camel. It is the query language that we can use against SharePoint lists. But even though this is actually a RESTful service out there on the internet, because I am exposing it as an external list, I can now turn around and use this camel query to treat it just like it was a SharePoint list. And then once I define that, we can come down here and we'll just get a list. We go after the list, get items, and you can see that we're putting in our camel query. Now, if we scroll up here just a little bit, you'll see that when we get the list, we also get it in the standard way, right? So here is the client-side object model that's going to look for the list by title. So even though it's an external list, I can just get it by title, just like any other list. Create that camel query. Run that camel query against the list, asking for the specific fields that I want returned, as we would expect. And then it's, you know, it's kind of a boring snore here, because once I get that back, I just loop through the collection of items. I build up a collection, which I will ultimately pass off to the MVC view for display.
You can't tell at all that that's coming external content.
That's right.
It looks like standard SharePoint list data.
This is just standard list programming, and that's really the value of it. Okay, great. So that's a good look then at the app level ECT and why it's important to us. Let's go ahead and pop back this to the slides here. All right, so the next thing that we want to talk about now are hybrid business connectivity services solutions. So hybrid business connectivity services solutions are really about the idea of having SharePoint online and things that are on-premises, SharePoint on-premises, and these things are working together to exchange data so that people can move seamlessly between on-premises data stores and online data stores. What we need to do in order to set up SharePoint Hybrid, now I should be clear that this module is not about setting up hybrid. We care about hybrid as BCS developers because it enables some very interesting things for us, but we're not going to be able to discuss in detail how to set it up, so we're going to keep it kind of high level. But when you set up SharePoint Hybrid, what you're doing is establishing a mutual trust between SharePoint Online and on-premises. But the beauty of this is that you're going to have a common identity management that allows users to move seamlessly between on-premises SharePoint facilities and data and online SharePoint facilities and data. And when we talk about how these are put together, we discuss three topologies that are available: one-way inbound, one-way outbound, and two-way. Let's look at those in a little bit more detail. What one-way inbound does is one-way inbound allows for SharePoint online apps and external lists to be able to utilize on-premises data. So what's happening is that the one-way is from on-premises into, from SharePoint online into on-premises to retrieve data. So that's the inbound one-way from online to on-premises. But the result of establishing this topology is that SharePoint online apps and external lists can use data that's on-premises. Although this is not a search topic, it's interesting to note also that SharePoint online search could also utilize on-premises search indices. So it allows SharePoint Online to reach into on-premises. We can also have one-way outbound, which is basically just the reverse. Now, when you have the reverse, what you have is on-premises being able to reach into SharePoint Online for data. There is no supported scenario that's of interest here for BCS, so we can't do anything with business connectivity services in this topology. But we will note that SharePoint on-premises search could utilize the online search index if you establish this topology. And finally, we have two-way, and two-way is exactly what you would think. It's both inbound and outbound, and so it's going to enable the SharePoint online apps and external lists to use on-premises data, and it's also going to enable online search to use on-premises index, as well as the on-premises search to use the online index. So again, this can't be a module about how to set up hybrid. It's a non-trivial activity to set up hybrid, but setting it up could be important for you if you have data sources on premises that you would like to utilize in your SharePoint online. Okay, so in order to do this, though, we can at least talk about the high-level steps. The most interesting one for us is one-way inbound BCS. That enables the most scenarios for us in business connectivity services. So if I'm interested to do this at the 30,000-foot level, what I need to do is create my on-premises data sources as an O data source. So for example, if I had a database on-premises that I would like to use as an external list online, I'm going to need to wrap that on-premises database in some kind of O data source using something like Web API to expose that as an O data source. Then what I need to do is expose that O data source to the internet through a reverse proxy so that it's secure. Then I'll create an external content type against that now exposed external source. I'll have to do some configuring of the on-premises secure store and the online secure store. Secure store plays a very important role here. Remember, it's a credential mapping system so that as my user's identity is moving from online to on-premises, from on-premises to online, there's mapping and credential translation that has to happen, and secure store fills that role for us. And then finally, once all that's properly configured, I would be able to create an external list in SharePoint Online that's actually exposing data that's on-premises. When we're creating that and exposing that O data source, I mentioned that, you know, we could do this using Web API or WCF, and also that it has to be published through a reverse proxy for security. But also I'll note here that it's also protected by a server certificate. Again, you're going to be exposing this through the reverse proxy. You need to make sure that happens in a secure way. When we create the external content type, we're going to create the external content type in the normal way, you know, through Visual Studio. And then we're going to have to do a little bit of modification to update the secure store settings inside of it. You can see here just a shot of how we can address the pieces of the model that work with secure store. The secure store itself, we haven't really looked at it in great detail or at all, and I'll show you some more when we do our next demo. But the secure store is something that is configured inside of SharePoint Online, and we're going to have to create an on-premises secure store entry with local credentials, as well as an online secure entry that uses these certificate credentials. And then that is going to allow the two to talk and to be able to translate your identity across the boundary. After that, as I said, we can create the ECT and external list, and that's pretty straightforward stuff. Okay, so with that as sort of the 30,000 foot view, let's just take a second to go through the data flow that would be enabled by this topology. Here you can see a diagram that's showing both the data flow and the authentication flow, and we'll just sort of walk through it by the numbers here. So the first thing that you'll see in number one is that somebody's logging in. So obviously we need to have a login, and then the authentication process begins. And then they want to look at an external list. So they're logging into the SharePoint Online tenancy and examining an external list. The next thing that happens is that Business Connectivity Services will contact both Secure Store, we can see it here, both Secure Store and Azure Access Control Services, or ACS, for the purpose of getting both a certificate and a token, because we're going to need the certificate to get through the reverse proxy, which is protected by the certificate, and then we're going to need a token to authenticate once we get on premises. So you can see this is a non-trivial authentication flow, and it does take some effort to set that up. After we retrieve from Secure Store the certificate and from ACS the token, we can penetrate the reverse proxy to get into the on-premises with the certificate. And then when we get to number six here in the diagram, we've used our token to authenticate. And then finally, we'll be able to perform operations against that external data store. So again, the takeaway here is that these can be very important scenarios if you have on-premises data that you need to expose in SharePoint Online, but that these are also non-trivial to set up. But the good news is once you have the hybrid set up, then everything's just going to work. You do it one time and you're off to the races. Okay, the next solution that we want to talk about are custom event receivers. Custom event receivers allow us to attach event receivers to external lists as well as external content types themselves. So we can create list event handlers that will tell us, for example, when new items are added to external lists. We can also bind them directly to ECTs so that if our ECT is used in multiple places, we'll get the event. So what's interesting about that to me, Andrew, is that, you know, if I bind an event to a list, then I'm going to know when you use that list. But the ECT could actually be used in many lists throughout the farm.
That's true, yep.
If I want to know that, then I'm going to have to bind directly to the ECT, right?
Right. So you get the notifications on when those things changes, so you can actually see those kind of updates throughout your app.
And you may not know when somebody creates a list against the ECT because certain users may have the authority to create a new list. They could use your ECT.
Yeah, so you don't know how it's going to be used. You're basically giving a building block or a tool out for other people to take advantage of and use it in their stuff.
Right. So if you're going to use it multiple times, you probably want to bind to the ECT.
Sure.
The other cool thing that we can do is we can actually set up external list alerts. So just the same way that you go to a regular list in SharePoint and you say, notify me when new things happen, we can now do that with external lists so that when a new item is added to the list, we get an email, for example, that kind of notification. And actually, if you stop and you think about this for a second, this is really cool because by establishing this, it means that you're essentially going to get an email when data in your database on premises changes. Now pause and think about that for a second. That's actually a very powerful scenario, one that's enabled only by this type of BCS architecture. And then here you can see the supported events that we have: item added, item updated, item deleted. Okay, so if we are interested in doing this, what do we have to do? The first thing that we have to do is the external content type must implement some new methods. In BCS parlance, we call these stereotypes. So I already talked to you about the finder method, specific finder method, creator, updater, and deleter, which are the stereotypes for the basic CRUD operations an ECT can perform. The two new stereotypes that we care about are subscribe and unsubscribe. And what these stereotypes do is they allow your ECT to receive notification that something is subscribing to events. And what's going to happen is SharePoint, whenever there's a subscription to an ECT, SharePoint does something very interesting. It creates a RESTful endpoint for you to call against that ECT when things change. And we're going to see in a diagram in just a second how that works. So that delivery address gets created by SharePoint, and then whenever something changes, the external system can call on that delivery endpoint in response to some kind of an event. Okay, so here's a diagram of how all this works. Now let's kind of slow down for a second and see if we can understand how this goes down. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on this external content type here, right? So focus on the external content type first. And you can see that the external content type has its pretty standard stereotypes: finder, specific finder, creator, updater, and deleter, which are the definition for the CRUD operations. But because we want to implement notifications, we're also going to put in subscribe and unsubscribe. Now what happens over here is that if we attach a custom event receiver to the external list that you see over here, or we do something like subscribe to notifications to that list, then SharePoint responds by creating this RESTful endpoint. Now, this is a really interesting concept here that I want to emphasize. There is a notification endpoint that did not exist, a RESTful endpoint that you can call that did not exist until the moment somebody said, I want to know about these events. And then SharePoint produces that endpoint, and as part of the subscription process, passes to you the URI endpoint that you need to call. So it's made on the fly and given to you. And then what happens is whenever anything changes in the external system, your external system can then call that endpoint and tell SharePoint something's changed, and it takes care of firing the event handlers or sending the notifications or whatever the case may be. And then that notification could happen because maybe you're running a SharePoint app and the SharePoint app calls on that end when it changes something, or it could even be a regular line of business system. Heck, it could be a Windows application. It really doesn't matter, anything that can call that RESTful endpoint. And so What you're responsible for doing then is keeping that subscription data and making calls back on the endpoint to perform all the notifications. Now, when you first try to get your head around this, it seems a little bit confusing, but I think when we run through the demo, it'll be a lot more clear how those pieces fit together. As I said a couple of times, if you're going to make an external content type that works with custom event receivers, then you need to implement the subscribe and unsubscribe methods. So here we see a little piece of the ECT model that's implementing the subscribe method. You'll notice here that we have the method called subscribe, right? So I can see that in the XML right here, right? There's the subscribe. And then you'll notice that it has input parameters like the delivery address. So that's the delivery address that SharePoint is sending to us. And then that's going to allow us to capture the URI that we need in order to call back. Now, you can see a little piece of it here, but the way that it gets captured in this particular example in the demo that I'll do for you is I'm actually storing it in a SQL table. So what I'm doing is that when SharePoint sends in that URI for me, I'm going to remember it in a SQL table and then call it at appropriate times whenever anything changes. And we'll see that a little bit more in the demo. Here's the unsubscribe method. So this allows somebody to say, hey, I don't want to receive alerts anymore. And the unsubscribe method takes only one argument. It's the subscription ID. So what happens whenever a subscription occurs is that subscription should have a unique ID that's passed back to SharePoint so that when somebody or something says, I don't care about these notifications anymore, you can be told because the unique subscription ID is passed back to you. Okay. So with that as our overview, let's go ahead and take a look at an example of this in action. So what I'm going to do is let's first start by just coming into, I'm going to clean this up a little bit and close all these to make some room. And the first thing I'm going to do is let's go ahead and jump into Azure, because what we're going to do is we're going to work against a SQL Azure database for this example. So we'll go into the Azure portal here and I'll show you the database that we're going to work in. What did I do here? Let's see, manage. There we go, better. Okay, and we'll log in. So the external source that we're interested in for this particular example is a SQL Azure database. So here I am inside of my Azure subscription that's associated with my my Office 365 tenancy for this course. And if I come up to the SQL databases here, you can see I have one SQL database called Mini CRM. If I come to the just the information on this, you can see here's the unique server for it, right? So I'm just going to hang on to that in case we need it. And then what I can do is click on this that says run transact SQL queries against your SQL database, which will bring up a little SQL window for me. I'm going to have to log in as the administrator here. So this is the database administrator as I have it set up. And it's working on it, connecting. Okay, and if I come in here, you know, and I just write something simple here, I'm going to say select star from customers, you'll see that when I run this, I just get back a bunch of customer information. So here, it's pretty simple, right? All I've got is a SQL Azure database table with a bunch of customer information in it. Now, what I want to do is create an external content type against this. So the way that I created the external content type, to keep it simple, was here inside of SharePoint Designer. So SharePoint Designer is one mechanism for creating external content types. I've already opened up the site here that we're working against. And inside of SharePoint Designer, when you open up the site, you'll see over on the left that there's a particular area where you can manage all your external content types. So if I come here and click on external content types, it's going to of course tell me that it's not available because it has to be that way. Okay, hang on a second. We're going to go ahead and open the SharePoint Designer again. Okay, and I think it probably just timed out, but let's go ahead and just open it up again. give it just a second to communicate with my Office 365 tenancy. It looks good. Now I'm going to click on external content types, and when I do that, it tells me it's building the external content types report. And what it's doing is it's going and looking in SharePoint Online for all the different external content types that I've created. And I've already created the one that we need to work against that SQL Azure database. So we're letting it come up. If we don't, if it doesn't pop right up, I've actually got it here in as a file so we can pull it. Let's do that. Looks like it's just bothering to think about it a little too long. But here it is right here. This is the actual ECT. Let's just take a quick look at this. I'm going to edit this thing inside of Notepad. And you'll just notice that this is really the same kind of XML file that was generated against that external Northwind database. But this one is working against a SQL Server database. And you can see there that it says it's a SQL Server data source. And you'll also notice that this is the SQL database, the SQL Azure database that you saw inside my portal. Okay, let's see if we're done looking at it. Oh, fantastic. So now what's happened is you can see that I've created this customer ECT inside of the SharePoint Designer. If you want to create a new ECT, all you have to do in the SharePoint Designer is say you'd like to create a new ECT. You can give it a name, and then you can pick the system that you want to go against, adding a connection here, and you can see how easy it is to pick like a WCF service or a SQL Server service. I'm not going to go through that in detail since we already have this one created, but I'm going to click on the one that's created, the customer one here. And then when I do, inside of the SharePoint Designer, you'll see that it's very easy to identify all the different CRUD operations that are being performed. You can see the reads, updates, deletes, etc. And then if I want some more information about it, I can even go here to the operations design view. But the point of this is really that what you're able to do with the SharePoint Designer is connect to that external source and design the ECT, which ultimately will give you that XML file that I showed you, but it does it in a graphical way that allows you to create the ECT against that external store without having to sort of get your hands dirty using the XML directly. Now, one key aspect of this is that when we connect to that external data store, we're not going to be able to connect to that using our organizational account. I logged into Office 365 as Scott at MS Academy 5, but what I'm going to do is have the secure store translate for me and give me SQL credentials. So I want to access using SQL credentials, not my organizational account. And if we return to the SharePoint Designer, we'll see down here where it says external system, I can click on the external system definition. And in that external system definition, we're going to see that what the system is doing is it's referencing a secure store definition so that it's saying when you utilize this ECT to connect to the external system, what I want you to do is translate the credentials based on the entry in the secure store that I'm referencing. Now, it looks like it's having a minute there to go find it. Oh, great. So it did it. And now here's the key thing right here. See how it says secure store application ID? And then we're calling that mini CRM, which happens to be the same name as the database, but that's just to keep it simple. It's not the database, it's the name of the secure store application ID. So this is saying when you go to connect to this database that we're looking at, when you go to connect to that database, I want you to go to secure store to find the credentials. And so If we leave the SharePoint Designer for a minute and we come all the way back to our online tenancy, let's go ahead and close some and log back into our online tenancy here, Scott at msacademy5.onmicrosoft.com. We can find the secure store by going into admin, SharePoint, and then on the left, you'll see Secure Store. And when I click on Secure Store, you'll see that I have an entry in here called Mini CRM. And what this entry does is it defines that credential translation. So it lets you associate a SQL Azure username and a SQL Azure password with the organizational ID. So that means the user isn't going to have to log in again. That's the key thing. And so then the last piece of the puzzle is to go ahead and create a list. So if we come back to the SharePoint Designer and click on Lists and Libraries, you'll notice that I have created an external list. An external list can be created directly inside of the site using the browser by just coming in and clicking on Site Contents. And from Site Contents, you can say Add an App. And from Add an App, you can come down and say you'd like to add an external list. And when you get to the external list content type, then what you can do is go searching for the available external list content types, and you can see I've got one called customer right there. And so that's how it all comes together. Now, I've already done that, so we can simply go back to our site here, and there's my list of customers. If I click on that list of customers, it's going to go ahead and open a list, query that SQL Azure database, and sure enough, you can see that I've got back these entries, right? So there's Gordon He at the top right there. And if we come back to where we ran the SQL query, you can see, sure enough, there's Gordon He right there. So what we've proven here is that we can, in fact, get this external data to appear as a list. Now, the next thing we want to do to round all this out, right? So now we're showing it as a list, but what I want to do now is I want to be able to subscribe to events. So the first thing we have to do is enable this ability to subscribe to events by turning on a feature. So I'm going to return to my site, come to the little gear here and say Site Settings, and then I'm going to go to Manage Site Features. And here on Manage Site Features, we're going to scroll down a bit. I love the Access app description. You
look
like that? That's right. We got all our marketing messages in there. I like that. I really do.
Where are the other features? Below the fold.
That's right. Right there, man. All right. So if we come down, I want to point out this to you, which is External System Events right there. This is the feature that needs to be enabled in order to set up events on external lists. Once you've got that in place, then what you can do is come to the list, and we'll do something very simple. We'll come up to the list now, and we'll say that we would like to be alerted. So we'll come to the Alert Me, click on Manage My Alerts, and you can see that I'm already asking for alerts here. So I'm asking for any changes to this list. Now, here's a key thing. What happens when you set up these alerts? Remember, SharePoint now creates a RESTful endpoint that it expects your external system to call whenever anything changes. And it sends you that external endpoint. So if we return now to our SQL Azure database, and instead of saying select star from customers, I say select star from subscriptions and run that, we see something very interesting here, which is I have three delivery addresses now. These three delivery addresses were set up by SharePoint in response to me asking for alert notifications, and they represent additions, changes, and deletions. And it is my job to call on these endpoints whenever an external system, like my app, should make an addition, an update, or a deletion. And when SharePoint receives notification on that RESTful endpoint, it will then fire an email off to people telling them about the change in exactly the same way that it would notify you of changes of any SharePoint list. So we can bring all this home now by coming back into Visual Studio and grabbing an app that will do exactly that. So I have this pre-built app we're going to use for this demonstration here that works against the mini CRM system. So let's just go ahead and grab that. It's a provider-hosted app. We're going to fire it up here to get it started. And so now what we're doing, this is the key thing to understand. What we're doing now is, you know, we have this whole external list thing going on, but now what I did was I built an entirely separate app that works against the exact same data source, but is going to provide notifications. All right, so what we're going to do then is let's go ahead and use the app. And what the app wants me to do is add some information. So, Andrew, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add you to the database, okay?
Oh, thank you.
So, I can't call you Andy,
no,
right? Now call me Andy. All right, so Andrew Connell, right?
And two L's. Then, thank you.
I got the two L's.
And I'm just saying I'm not the one T.
I'm good with the two L's. L's. Andrew Connell, Inc.
There you go.
Right?
That works.
All right.
We're incorporated.
Work phone. I won't give out your work phone. Because then people call you and say, how come this lab doesn't work? How about if I give out your home phone?
That'll go for it. Yeah. That's you're off by one. It's ends in a four. There you go.
And we'll just give you an address on my tenant at msacademy5.onmicrosoft.com.
I'll make sure to check that right afterwards.
You bet. All right. So if all is good, what I'm going to do is this is going to create a new entry in the SQL Azure database, right? So you can see it's churning up there. All right, so we've obviously jumped into the breakpoint here. I'm just going to hit F5 and keep chugging. You can see the basic SQL code that's going on there. So I've made an entry directly into the database. And now what I've also done is I've looked at those subscriptions and I've called them. I called those RESTful endpoints and I said, hey, there's a new entry inside the database.
Telling SharePoint that the stuff has changed.
That's right.
Gotcha.
So now what I should be able to do is come in here and say, select star from customers where I believe it's first name. We're going to go for that. First name equals Andrew, right?
Yep, that's my name.
Let's see if we got it. See if it liked me. Oh, there you go. So there's the entry, right? So you're in the database, right? You're in the database. All right, and now what I'm going to do is come back to our SharePoint site, and I'm going to go to Outlook, where I have my email, because I subscribe to alerts on that list, and then we're going to look inside the inbox, and what we're going to see is that it hasn't come yet, right? So that's okay, though. So I'm going to scroll down to where, I'm ready for that event. It may come while I'm talking. But I'm going to scroll down here. Oh, I saw something give. There it is.
Yeah. Oh, perfect
right.
Time.
I had one pre-canned, but there it is. It just popped in. So showing you real time, it actually works. And then I click on it and check it out.
Oh,
I just received
really cool.
Notification that something happened in the database. So this is really cool. The upshot of this is that I had a SharePoint app that added an item to a SQL Azure database, and my end user was able to subscribe to changes to that. Now, this is very powerful because I'm using an app, but what if you just had a regular line of business system, like a CRM system or what have you? You could have the same kind of thing happen so that when somebody uses a line of business system, other people receive notification. All right, and that's the custom event receivers, pretty powerful stuff. Let's go ahead and jump on back and sort of wrap up this module. And so what we'll do is, let's talk about what we did, right? So we did a little bit of an overview of business connectivity services. Again, if you're a, if you're a BCS person from back in the day, you've done some stuff in 2010. All the knowledge that you have, you can bring forward with you to 2013. But then we talked specifically about the concept of ECTs and secure store and external lists. And then I showed you some very specific solutions, app-level external content types that you can use to bring external information in, hybrid business connectivity services that allows you to use on-premises data in your SharePoint online solutions, and finally custom event receivers, which allow external data sources to be able to fire events that are received by people or systems in response to changes to that data. Okay, great. So, Andrew, now that we've got all that information, tell us how we should follow up.
Yeah, sure. Well, so Microsoft has created a bunch of different resources for you to be able to take advantage of to get ramped up on all of this stuff. If you go to dev.office.com, you'll find first some links on where you download the tools and get your Visual Studio all updated with all the tools that you would need to do any kind of SharePoint or Office 365 development. You'll also find links to where you can sign up for a free test tenant for Office 365 to go ahead and just test it without forking over any money for it initially. Also, there's an API sandbox that you can check out on MSDN that lets you play with all the Office 365 SDKs, and links for where you can get a bunch of training, including this video, as well as a bunch of other ones that are in the MVA training. It's worth noting, too, that there's also a very significant GitHub presence for Office Dev. If you go to github.com/OfficeDev, they've got a lot of great projects out there, a lot of good samples, including one called Training Content that we've worked on that has a significant number of all the code and the slides and the demos and hands-on labs of all the stuff that you saw Scott demo here in this module. So the next thing is, what about feedback? How do you give feedback back to the team? Now, there's three great ways of doing it. If you go check out Yammer, there's a network called the Office 365 Network that you can take advantage of to interact with the team, to talk to the marketing guys at Microsoft, talk to some of the other people that are in the community, just have good discussions about what's going on. If you have specific pointed questions about technical things of how to get things accomplished or challenges you're having, Stack Overflow is a fantastic resource. Just make sure you tag your stuff with MS-Office so that the product team can see it. And then finally, if you have an idea for a new feature or some changes to an existing one, check out User Voice. If you go to officespdev.uservoice.com, you can go there, submit your idea. People can vote it up, have a nice little dialogue with it. The Office team checks that out every single week, figuring out what's available to you. Triages it and marks things as they're under development. They're going to add them to the product, getting a bunch of feedback. And I've even seen some of the ones that I've put in there have actually shown up on roll into the product. So
you have a good idea every now and then.
Every once in a while. I'm not going to say what my batting average is, but you know, at least I got one or two in there, and that's all that matters.
There you go. All right, great. Well, thanks, Andrew. So that wraps it up for Business Connectivity Services. Thanks for spending time on this module with us. If you're not watching these in series, make sure to check out all the other ones that are part of this course as well, and we look forward to working with you in the future.